the week's cases for the week ending May 2nd, 2025, by Alma Naster, L.A. County Public Defender's Office. Under SB 1437, malice cannot be imputed in pre-2009 Provocative Act murders. It's nice when the Cal Supremes reverse a bad Court of Appeal case. It's fabulous when they reverse Justice Eugen. Provocative Act murder occurs, quote, when the defendant or his accomplice, with a conscious disregard for life, intentionally commits an act that is likely to cause death, and his victim or a police officer kills in reasonable response to such act, close quote. Gilbert, 63 Cal 2nd, 690. SB 1437 amended Penal Code Section 188 to state, quote, malice shall not be imputed to a person based solely on his or her participation in a crime, close quote. Isn't malice being imputed in a provocative act prosecution? In the Court of Appeal opinion in this case, Justice Eugen claimed that provocative act murder requires that the defendant himself have personally harbored malice to avoid imputing malice. In 2013, Eugen had expressly said that a provocative act murder does impute malice. Quote, malice is implied by law and imputed to the mastermind despite his absence from the scene of the crime. Close quote. Johnson, 221 Cal App 4, 623 at 627. When faced with that opinion here, Eugen was forced to say that his use of imputed was inartful. I guess that's Eugenese for wrong. In 2009, the Cal Supremes held for the first time that a defendant can only be convicted of provocative act murder if he in fact had malice, Concha, 47 Cal 4th, 653. This case arises in an SB 1437 context. SB 1437, codified in Penal Code Section 1170.95, now renumbered 1172.6, allows a defendant to challenge a prior murder conviction when the defendant wasn't the actual killer, didn't aid in the killing, and wasn't a major participant in the underlying felony who acted with reckless indifference to human life. The murder here was prior to 2009. The Cal Supremes ruled that, quote, malice was not necessarily required on the part of the non-provocateur accomplice under the Provocative Act Murder Doctrine at the time of the defendant's conviction, and that the jury instructions in any given case will generally inform the prima facie inquiry under Section 1172.6, close quote. So for provocative act murders committed before 2009, absent a jury finding that the defendant actually had malice, malice can't be imputed. I continue to believe that provocative act murder was abrogated by SB 1437. In footnote 7, the Cal Supremes note this point but don't resolve it. We should continue to raise it. If you're keeping score, Eugen is reversed in this opinion and his 2013 opinion is disapproved. 7-0, double whammy. People versus Antonelli, S-281-599, 424-25 Cal Supremes. Gang evidence can be relevant. A short mid-trial delay is not necessarily error. The DA was permitted to present lots of evidence about how the charges related to gangs. The Court of Appeal upholds admission of this testimony, carefully reviewing each piece of evidence and explaining how each was relevant to issues in this case of identity, witness credibility, and motive. Second issue. The judge granted a one-week continuance in the middle of trial due to the death of a member of the DA's family. The Court of Appeal reviews various mid-trial delays that have been found improper, e.g. Santa Maria, 229 Cal App 3rd, 269, 11-day continuance, Dinsmore, 102 Cal 381, 63-day continuance, and Engelman, 116 Cal App 3rd, Sup 14, 3-week delay. The Court of Appeal stresses that the delay here was much shorter than in the cited cases and rejects the claim that this delay was erroneous. Peel versus Benson, B 334490, 42825 CA 2nd Division 8. Failure to find aggravating circumstances does not always require reversal. SB 567, effective 1122, limits a court's ability to impose an upper term sentence, amending Penal Code Section 1170, quote, to prohibit imposition of an upper term sentence unless aggravating circumstances justify that term and the facts underlying any such circumstance other than a prior conviction have been stipulated to by the defendant or have been found true beyond a reasonable doubt at trial by the jury or by the judge in a court trial, close quote. Penal Code Section 1170B2. This change applies retroactively to all cases not yet final on appeal. So what happens if a pre-SB 567 court impose the upper term based on improperly found aggravating circumstances? In Lynch, 16 Cal 5th 730, the Cal Supremes applied the Chapman 386 U.S. 18 standard of review, ruling that reversal for resentencing is required unless A, the reviewing court concludes beyond a reasonable doubt that the jury would, quote, have found all of the aggravating facts upon which the court relied to conclude the upper term was justified, or that those facts were otherwise proved true in compliance with the current statute, close quote. And B, the record clearly indicates, quote, that the court would have found an upper term justified had it been aware of its more limited discretion, close quote. The Court of Appeal finds that the error here was harmless. Second issue, what does fear, an element of Penal Code Section 211 robbery, require? Does the victim need to actually be fearful, or is it sufficient that a reasonable person would have felt fear? The Court of Appeal rejects the argument that the fear element of robbery must be objective. It is, in fact, a subjective standard. Quote, what matters is whether the victim in this case was subjectively in fear, not whether a hypothetical and objective reasonable person standing in the victim's shoes would have been afraid. Close quote. Collins, 65 Cal. 5th, 333 at 341. Peel v. Cabada, B315418. Issued 324-25, modified 4325, CA 2nd, Division 6.